The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Comcast, Verizon, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studios here at Hallis Hall. Welcome to the Bears Coaches Show with you until 7:30 tonight. Big John, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
20-3 win works. That'll make you feel good.
Yep. Makes Christmas a lot more cheery.
Right. Sure. So everybody got to spend a little bit of time with their family. The players got a couple of days off. So, you're the only one working today, you and your coaches, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else. I saw some guys trickle in, though.
No, we had about 15 guys come in, which is normal for their day off. And I think that's a good sign. And definitely the coaches enjoyed their time off yesterday. We gave the training room and equipment guys, everybody off. So this league doesn't time out very often quite that nicely. So you got to take advantage of it.
Akeem Hicks was right, I guess, huh? He said, we're not going to let this happen, lose to an 0-14 team.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if that's exactly what he said, according to reports, but it does put everybody out there and makes everybody focus.
What set the tone for the win, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think just a good week of preparation. You know, I think 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati, I thought it was pretty good. Wasn't quite as good against Detroit. And then I think we had a good week's work, and it paid off on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what every win does? It seemingly makes you. You know, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to look back, but it makes you look back and wonder what if.
Well, I think, when you go through and you've had as many close losses as we have, you always play that game. But, you can't change it. It's just like sometimes turning in some of our official questions. It doesn't change anything.
You know, there's another rating system out there, not just the one the NFL uses. It's the Troy Aikman ratings. I don't know if you ever look at it at all. Lovie Smith used to be really important to him, but it does reveal some things that go beyond yards. It's just not yards. When you talk about total yards given up and so forth, it deals with situational football and your production in the red zone, your red zone defense, whatever. So the Bears at 5-10, an outlier in those ratings because the team overall is ranked 15th in the league in the Aikman ratings, which includes all the playoff teams up there that are going to go to the playoffs, and the defense ranks 6th in the league in these Aikman ratings. Again, it is math, but it does underscore that, A, you played some really good teams because 10 of the 15 teams in that top 15, you guys played off those offenses. Top 15 offenses, 10 of them you guys played.
Yeah, I think if you just go back and look at the scores from the opening day against Atlanta, our wins, two of them are against teams that are going to the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers have 8 Pro Bowlers. We beat them here at home. So I think, it is a very competitive league. We did play a very, very tough schedule, and, we lost, probably 5 or 6 one-score games that go the other way. Now you flip your record.
I don't know that I've asked you this ever in 3 years either, but did your expectations from the day the season started when you started training camp, or maybe even back to the offseason program, did they change at all over the course of the season for you as you analyze your team week in and week out?
Not really. You always stay positive, and obviously even to start the season, you stay positive. I think probably every coach in the league does that. I think that's the only way you can look at it. And obviously when you get some injuries and some key spots, it affects those games.
The injuries hit again at the offensive line, and Cameron Leigh moves in there. You got Bradley Sewell, who's been filling in over the course of the season at virtually every spot as well. Heck, he was your potential long snapper at one point. So the versatility and the game prep to get these guys ready to compete out there has really been a challenge, hasn't it, with all the different line combinations. I think you've only started 6 different line combinations. Well, you've had double-digit numbers of combinations as games worn on.
Yeah, I think I think our line coaches do an outstanding job, and they got guys ready. And this past week against Cleveland was no different.
The running game got you in the end zone 3 times. Mitchell Trubisky. I know this is a couple of days. This is not normal for you to talk about a game 2 days later, so I won't talk much about it. But Mitchell Trubisky again put forth some very good work. Everything that's he's been doing has been building towards something for the future. And that game, it was his legs. It was his legs and his mind avoiding what was going to be for sure a blitz package that Greg Williams was going to throw at you guys.
Yeah, I thought a couple of his scrambles were really, really big plays. Both the timing and the situation was very big. And we had a couple design runs for him that he executed very well. But I think some of the dropback passes on third down where he was able to get out of there, he was very patient in the screen game. He got to Benny Cunningham a couple times for some big plays on third down, with the running back screens. I think he just continues to get better and better.
Screen game is not as easy as it looks, is it?
No, I think there's a lot of timing involved, both for your lineman getting out there, your back getting through unscathed, the quarterback holding it just long enough to let the rush get up the field. So there's a lot of moving parts in the screen game for sure.
Here with Bears head coach John Fox, 7:30 tonight, the Bears Coaches Show, last one of the year as the Bears prepare for the Minnesota Vikings. Jeff Joniak with the coach, a couple of defensive guys. We're going to talk more about it in the second segment, but I got to give Sam Hacho a shout out because I think he hit the quarterback 5 of the 10 times you guys hit him.
Yeah, Sam's played really well. Since losing Leonard Floyd, arguably one of our better players on defense, he's really stepped up. Us being able to get Lamar Houston back has really helped. Christian Jones has moved from inside to outside backer now. So those guys have really carried the defense, especially the outside linebacker position, again, with some injuries, and they've stepped up and played big.
And as a result, you've hit 40 sacks, now 6th in sacks per pass play in the league, 12th in first downs allowed, 8th against the pass, 9th against the run. Those are really big numbers for, again, a defense that has faced a lot of different star players. And I did some research on facing number one receivers this season. And you got to throw Josh Gordon in there, even though, he hasn't played much for the Browns. You guys have only allowed 3.1 yards after the catch against receivers that are considered the number one receivers. 5 of those guys, Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a big test this week. When you look at Diggs and Thielen, both up there, both in yards per catch as well as catches. So, they're two good guys that we played pretty tough here at home in a close loss. Actually, Mitch Trubisky's really first start was the Vikings here at home on Monday night.
Coming up on 6:38
to the left. Three receiver snap in the gun. Kaiser pumps. Now going deep right side. Fuller interception in the end zone. He became the receiver. Gordon was the receiver. And Fuller comes off. And he became the target for DeShone Kaiser on a great over-the-shoulder catch by Kyle Fuller.
And just a tremendous day for Kyle Fuller. He's the Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity, here with John Fox, segment number 2 of the Bears Coaches Show. A complete day. Most pass breakups, scoring the final statistics at the game. I don't know if you coaches have changed it at all, but they gave him 6 passes defensed, most by a Bears corner since 1994. Most since 94. And now 22 for the season, most since 97, and Danelle Wolford here for the Bears.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with Kyle's play, especially what a disappointing season he had a year ago, being injured and not really playing a snap. So he's been a pleasant surprise. He's worked very, very hard and couldn't happen to a better guy.
Did you give him 6, or do you even look at that stuff? Do you guys look at the statistics a little differently after the game, watching tape?
Yeah, we've moved on so fast, because we're already past that. We're in game plan.
Because it's quite a day. I mean, that doesn't happen.
No, he was.
That doesn't happen.
He does a lot of work and a lot of film study, and I think he got to reap the benefits.
Where's he come from in your mind? Because he didn't play last year, and sometimes if you're not available, it's on to the next guy and so forth, but. He got his chance this year and wrestled that starting position away after a good offseason as well. But how far has he come in your mind?
Well, I think, really far, considering, like I said, he didn't play a snap a year ago. And we really weren't sure, how much he would contribute this year. So he worked physically very hard in the offseason to get healthy and, get his strength back and get his movement back. And, he came to camp in great shape, and he just continued to get better every week.
I'm going to steal one of your terms. It takes a minute. It takes a minute that a player does mentally feel physically able to do what he's supposed to do out there, doesn't it?
Oh, no doubt. I think when they come back from any injury, whether it's, surgery or just even a soft tissue injury, to build that confidence back that you're – you know, when your brain says to do something, that your body will follow. And, you know, he did that in a big way.
I just need that to get out of the bed in the morning, you know?
Same here.
Hey, and in terms of ball skills, too, that is not, those guys don't grow on trees that can play, make plays on the ball. And their case could be made. He could have had a handful more interceptions this season, too. Might be looking at, you know, people look at interceptions and sacks to get you in a Pro Bowl in addition to team wins. But that's a difficult position to fill in terms of being that kind of player, being making attacks on the ball and making plays on the ball.
Yeah, I think, you know, whether you're a D lineman and people, you know, kind of judge success by sacks, a lot of times, same with DBs, you know, people are looking at the interception totals, you know, to create, you know, that vibe as far as getting Pro Bowl votes. But, you know, at the end of the day, really the really good ones, you know, I remember when Deion was in his prime, nobody ever even threw his way, you know, so... But he made his niche really when he did get the ball in his hands, whether it was a return man or, you know, on the occasional interception. But when he was really in his prime, nobody was even throwing his way.
We talked about this briefly on the broadcast, just wondering more than anything, because a lot of quarterbacks do pat the ball before they throw it. It's just something they do. I think Ben Roethlisberger does it. But Deshaun Kizer was... Is that a tell for a corner to break on a ball? Is that a dangerous thing that you can't assume every time? Because he was doing it every time, it seemed to me, that patting the ball.
Well, I think, you know, it's coaching vision, the ability to see both the receiver and the quarterback. They're all tells, you know, whether it's the depth of the quarterback or split of the receiver, or maybe even how he's coming off. But, you know, Kyle does a good job of film study, and, you know, I think it paid off.
Did you do that as a DB? Did you break on balls when the quarterback would pat the ball? Because a lot of guys do it.
Well, you look at more really the footwork than really where his hands are on the ball. You know, the long arm motion is really when you can attack. But for the most part, three step equals a certain depth. Five step equals another depth. You know, and obviously play action and seven step are, you know, even a different reception area as far as depth down the field.
All right, what have you come to appreciate about some guys in each of the three phases that have come the furthest this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, start going on special teams. You know, look at what Tariq Cohen's done as a return man, both punt and kickoffs. You know, I think Pat O'Donnell has really improved as a young punter. You know, I think special teams-wise, you know, I always, you know, get very impressed with Sherrick McManus and what he's able to accomplish as a coverage guy. I think, you know, on offense, just our O-line in general, you know, being able to run the ball, run it effectively, even though we've seen, you know, a lot of loaded boxes. You know, I think, you know, my hat's off to them. You know, Jordan Howard, again, has answered the bell a bunch in some big spots. And, you know, then defensively, really, our whole group, I think we made a lot of changes in the secondary. And, you know, those guys have come in, learned the system, I think executed well. You know, inside linebacker, we've lost a few guys. And then these young guys, Nick Kwiatkowski, I think, has stepped up and played very well. Getting Danny Trevathan back, you know, he's kind of the heart and soul. You know, up front, you know, Akeem Hicks has kind of, you know, brought that group, you know, through some thick and thin times. You know, I think, you know, I'm leaving out guys. But we've played really good team defense and really just about every statistical area there is. You know, we've gone from a 32nd ranked defense to, you know, a top 10 group. So hats off to what they've been able to accomplish. You know, Mitch Trubisky, you know, to watch and think about, you know, I mean, he's, you know, in his 20-something games started since high school, you know, 13 in college. And then, you know, the number he's at right now, it's really kind of hard to comprehend, but he's done a tremendous job.
In front of him, Howard gets the carry. Big block by Sewell. Running left inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Jordan Howard, second today. His ninth of the year. A 16-yard run, and it was perfectly blocked.
And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. Jordan Howard now 9 rushing touchdowns. That matches Matt Forte's 2013 total. But that was the only season in 8 with the Bears that he had that many touchdowns, and Jordan's done it in his second year.
Yeah, I think you know, Jordan's been you know, a real pleasant surprise. I think, you know, you look at a fifth-round pick that's accomplished what he has in 2 seasons as a Bear. You know, it's pretty incredible. He's a humble young guy that works very hard.
Ramon Harris back in 1997, the last Bear to 10 touchdowns. Again, these are things that guys like Brandon Faber put in the game notes.
Well, he knows that. You can't get anything.
Brandon's sitting here with us enjoying the evening.
You can't get anything by Brandon.
But it's all part of an offense ranked 11th in the rushing game, 11th in yards per carry. How good is it and how good can it become?
Well, I think you need to be – balanced, no doubt. And, I think, as I mentioned earlier, it's been kind of a tribute to our staff and our players on offense to be able to, run the ball, especially against so many loaded boxes that we've seen all season. So, and a tribute to all the players involved that make that happen, because it is pretty physical in there.
Right or wrong, somehow, some way, this season, once Mitchell Trubisky started against the Vikings on that Monday night, or became a theme anyway, at least from the outside in, as the biggest thing is develop this young quarterback as fast and as much as possible. There's more to it than that, obviously. It's a team. It's not just one guy. But you can't deny, though, that was a big part of this, right, developing Mitchell Trubisky. And do you think the job has been done in that regard, at least getting him ready for the – give him a platform to take off?
Well, there's no doubt. I think if you watch his completion percentage, it's gotten better with each week. I think his QBR, which is just part of statistics, I think has improved every week. This past game, we were +3 in the turnover ratio. We did not turn it over, and we took it away 3 times. It really was the difference in the game, and it's the difference in most games.
This afternoon, all season long here, really since about 6-7 weeks ago, everybody wants to know what you're thinking about your future. It is the last game of the regular season, and, you've been steadfast on it. Can you help but not think about it even a little bit?
I really don't. I think probably my family does more than I do. But, here's what I know. There's two coaches out there that are currently coaching in the National Football League as head coaches. They have a better record than I do in the National Football League. I didn't forget how to coach. There's no doubt this has been a frustrating 3 seasons. I think it's not just for the fans and, everybody that, that roots for the Bears. It's been frustrating here, too. So I think, we got one more game at Minnesota, a big game. Team is going to win our division, and we're going to do our best to upset their waltz into the playoffs. And we'll see what happens.
We heard you this afternoon, and somebody asked you about basically stripping down the roster, because that's what was needed to help you get the kind of room that you wanted, the kind of room that Ryan Pace wanted in terms of character and the type of players that are going to go work for you every day. You said it wasn't easy. It's not as easy as it looks, is it?
No, I mean, none of this is. I mean, you're doing something that's, people that are the best in the world at what they do, so it's pretty competitive. There's only 31 of these other seats, on the planet. So, everybody's pretty good at what they do. And, obviously it's been a big overhaul. We're not done yet. I think we've made our most strides, on defense over one game away from being 3 seasons. I think offensively, we've been effective at running the ball. We did overhaul the quarterback position. I think we have a really good young quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. And, I think moving forward, getting some pieces and weapons around him will be key.
You also, wanted certain types of guys. Did you accomplish that goal, aside from the wins right now, of creating a culture that can win in that locker room?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you look at just how, even as the circumstances and disappointment of our record, these guys come to work every day. They're the right kind of guys. It is a very young football team. That's learning how to win. They'll go about it and do just about anything you ask as far as changing that culture and developing a winning culture. And like I said, we've been close. I mean, we haven't, won our share of the close games that you need to do to have a successful record, but we're closer than people think.
Yeah, you said that many times. You genuinely believe that when you look in these guys' eyes, you know what you got better than anybody.
Oh, no doubt. I think, like I said, we've kind of, we've got our head at the water level. Now it's just getting above it.
Vikings, real quick, Boy, they're good defensively, man. Number one in the league. Mitch is going up there to play the number one defense in the league, and they still got something to play for. Mike Zimmer's not going to take his foot off anyway, even if they had everything wrapped up. He's not that type of coach. You know him well.
No, I think, we had a heck of a game with him here in Mitchell's very first start. You know, it was a 17-17 game. We ended up losing by a field goal on a turnover late in the game. So, our guys are confident, and I think they're looking forward to the opportunity.
Well, John, that's going to wrap us up for the season, your third year of the Bears Coaches Show. We do appreciate it. I know your time is valuable to prepare for games each and every week, but you've been great on this show and professional, and I just want to say from me to you and for the fans, we do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you for sure, Jeff, on the job you do. You're, a great Bears ambassador for sure. Appreciate all your time, and to all the fans out there, you guys have been great too, and I know you're dying for a winner, and hopefully it's around the corner.
All right, John Fox on the Bears Coaches Show. Coming up next, we'll have two assistant coaches on the offensive side of the ball, Ben McDaniels and John Dunn, joining the program.
Takes the snap, going to keep it himself, goes up the middle. Trubisky fighting for that goal line. He's in for the touchdown. That is a hard-fought blue-collar run up the gut by Mitchell Trubisky from the 4. Bears 19, Browns 3. Touchdown, Bears.
And that was one of three on the day by the Bears running the football as they knock off the Browns. A couple of days ago now, as we continue with the Bears Coaches Show live from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall with assistants John Dunn and Ben McDaniels. Good to see you guys. Maiden voyage since your Bears arrival, respectively. So welcome to the program. We appreciate it. Obviously, you guys, both quarterbacks in your day once upon a time, so we can talk about Mitchell Trubisky, and we talked about it with Coach Fox, just how he's gradually been climbing the stairs, so to speak, as a quarterback in his first year in the NFL, seeing just about everything. You guys have witnessed it from the inside out. Give us both of your perspectives on what exactly he has been learning and what he's adapting to as an NFL quarterback.
Without, having been in that quarterback room, Jeff, I'm not going to speak, too in depth on it. I just, I see his maturity and his growth out on the practice field and the way he handles himself in the building. And you can tell, game to game, he gets more comfortable, which is what you would expect in this league. Because like you said, he's seen a lot of things at this point during the season. So he's definitely grown a lot. And he's a big reason why we can put a good outing together last weekend and get a win.
Big Jan?
Yeah, I think the same. I think what's exciting about him, again, to Ben's point, not to speak directly, but just how hard he works, how humble he is, how he goes about his business. He's gotten better with each game, and obviously Rags and Dow have done a great job with him. So it's really exciting just to see every game, just you literally watch them get better, in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it's fun for everybody. Sure. I mean, and I threw the blue-collar thing in there because it was a run-up to get. Yeah, you're going to take a pounding a little bit, but that Northeast Ohio background for him, which fits perfectly with blue-collar Chicago, too, it's like a perfect fit, It's just 6 hours away, 5.5-hour ride away. Right. His family gets to come in. His family's blue-collar, too. They were awesome. Great athletes, too. It's just fun to see that type of play from a guy who loves the game. And you guys watch him on the practice field, obviously, as you said. Can you tell that his teammates know he loves the game?
Yeah, I think so for sure. I think that, again, not to speak too much into it, but I think that, naturally he's in a position of leadership by fault. And I think that guys rally around him because, of how hard he does work and how he goes about his business.
So, Ben, your title is offensive assistant. You work on quality control. Tell the fans basically what groups you are working with in general and what your work weeks are.
Yeah, I spend my time around the tight ends with Frank Smith, and John spends most of his time around the receivers with Zach. And, we quite honestly are working in and amongst some positions, but we do a lot of things behind that. In most cases, sometimes we're working 2 or 3 weeks ahead within a game week. So a lot of them can be ready to go when they need to transition to the next opponent. There's a lot involved with that. So we just try and stay up with all the responsibilities and make sure that we're doing everything we can for all the assistants to be able to do their job well, too.
John, is it hard to have that pinpoint vision when you're also thinking about two teams down the road?
It is a transition when you haven't done that for a while. I know Ben and I both came from college where you're all zoned in on that team, and and to be back to where you are a week or 2 weeks in advance, you know, I mean, you're kind of double dipping, and then as the game gets closer, you kind of have to zero back in on the team you're playing and get refocused.
So. Number 20, a cornerback.
That's exactly right.
That's the guy we're facing
in 3 weeks. So you do have to refocus, that's for sure.
All right, we'll continue on with our Bears Coaches Show. A couple of more segments to go for 2017. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations. Donations benefit the Salvation Army and are accepted until January 1st.
To right, Kaiser and the Browns ready to go. First and 10 out of the gun. Goes to throw. Pocket collapses. And down he goes. Sacked on the play. And getting it is Acho and Akeem Hicks. They're going to share that one. Hicks with 8 coming into today. A sack and a half for Acho. And that's the first time they get to DeShone Kaiser.
And that was in Sunday's game. Bears get the win. And Akeem Hicks approaching that 10-sack figure. He hopes to get it on Sunday in Minnesota against the Vikings. And we talked to John Fox. We'll talk more about, we'll hear some of John Fox's opening statements tonight on the Bears Coaches Show after Sam Acho hit the quarterback 5 times, shared that sack with Akeem Hicks. Here with John Dunn and Ben McDaniels, Bears offensive assistants. Your rise through the coaching ranks and why you guys decided to do it. Obviously, you both played high school football at a very high level and moved on from there after your college days were over. Was it in your blood? Was it in your blood, Big John?
You know, it was.
And I'm saying Big John because he's probably the tallest coach
on staff, right?
How tall are you, by the way?
6'5".
6'5".
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
You're dunking.
Wash is probably, me and Wash are probably the same height. I remember, so I grew up in Littletown, North Carolina. Love sports. It's all we really did. And I remember asking my high school coach one day, and where we grew up now, the high school coach, he coached everything. I didn't know what a coordinator was. He did it all. And so I remember asking him one day at practice if he got paid to do this, you know, and he's like, what do you mean? I said, do you actually, like, is this your job? He goes, yes. So I remember going home to my parents, like, I know what I want to do, right? I want to come back here and coach high school football. And so anyway, went through college, got injured, couldn't play my senior year. The head coach asked me to stay on and be a graduate assistant, which I really didn't know what that was at the time or what it entailed more, I should say. And one thing led to the next, and here I am. So I kind of always wanted to be a high school football coach, and it's led me to here.
And you obviously in the family, deeply in the family, with your brother Josh, obviously in New England, but even further than that, right?
It is. It was a way of life for us. We grew up in it, and I've always said that I was fortunate to grow up in a place that that football mattered. My dad coached high school football, you know, my entire childhood. And that community in that area of the country, it's very humbling growing up in an area of the country that cares about football. You learn to love football, learn to respect football, and you learn all the things that it offers you as a player, as a coach, as a family.
Yeah, which is Canton, Ohio. And you can't get bigger than that in the football world outside of being in a professional sports town. And so many people have come out of that area that have moved on to various careers in the sport. But growing up in that town, knowing the Hall of Fame is there, I can't imagine your imagination had to really be broad in that sense.
Yeah, I'd probably admit that you didn't know that when you were a kid. You know, you didn't know that it was probably as special as it was when you were little. But as I've gotten older, I certainly have a lot of respect for it. I'm very humbled to come from where I came from, and it's certainly played a significant part in who I am and why I do what I do.
In your position, even back then in high school, there's pressure out there. It's not like a lot of places. Did you feel it as a player, given your family's name and history and so forth?
Sure. But I think that's, you know, that's, you'd rather have it that way. Again, football's important to that community. And they care. And I certainly would rather have it that way. Have people care about, the sport and the program and those things. So, you know, I learned from my father, learned from my brother ahead of me. You know, not to turn any of that down and really enjoy that, because you certainly rather have that.
Coming up on 7:18, one more segment with our Bears assistant coaches tonight as we get ready to meet the Vikings on Sunday. And you can leave the cold weather behind, and wouldn't we all want to do that today? Travel back to the beach in February 2018 with your favorite Bears players, including Anthony Adams, Akeem Hicks, Adrian Amos, and Charles Leno Jr., and more. To book all this inclusive trip, all-inclusive trip, to Riu Republica in Punta Cana, visit applevacations.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. A couple of more moments with our Bears assistant coaches, Ben McDaniels and John Dunn. We're going to start with John on this one. The Vikings, and, you know, and you're partially responsible for, you know, Stephon Diggs. So, nice going. Guy's tearing it up for the Minnesota Vikings in there.
He's playing well.
Great year.
Yeah.
Tell us about that story. And, you know, you've had some names in your past, too, as a recruiting coordinator and a young man with Jacksonville. Yannick Ngakoue.
That's right.
I got that right?
That's exactly right.
First try, not bad.
That's right.
I didn't have to call his game this year, but he's having a 12-sack year.
Yeah.
You were at Maryland when these guys were there.
Yeah, good kid. Yannick's from D.C. and Stephon from the state of Maryland. But good players. You know, Stephon was he was a top player in the state. So, really, he was the biggest get for us at the time. And the way recruiting works, not to get into it, you kind of have to get one of those big fishes and the rest kind of follow.
Yeah.
So. He was an important player for a little while there. He really held us together offensively. But both of them good kids, worked hard. Not a surprise they're having success.
Yeah, good to see that, isn't it? Because it gives you some coaching instruments too. Hey, this guy, this is what he did. This made him great. You feel the same way, Ben, from your experiences at your different college stops? You coordinated some offenses. You played quarterback at Kent State. There's a lot of reference points that you can use as a coach.
Yeah, most certainly. You know, playing in college, coaching in college, guys that you've either played with, you know, and certainly guys that you've coached in college football and, you know, having reference points like you talk about, you know, whether you saw them develop into the players that they have into the NFL and kind of checking yourself on whether you're right or not is a game that we all play.
You know, you grew up obviously in a coaching family. I didn't ask you if you did. Yes?
No.
Right.
Father's a police officer and mom was a administrative assistant at the school.
Well, I'm referencing Zach Miller because somebody did a story on him this week about, well, you know, what happens later in your life. You look like you'd be a guy that would fit in the organization somewhere and maybe coaching down the road. And the first thing current day players always say, oh my God, these guys work so many hours. That it doesn't seem like it's something they'd like to do. Now, there are guys that do slip right into it, and you guys did after your playing careers. Is it as hard as they say?
I don't know that. My expectations, I think, coming in were that way. You know, like I said, I was fortunate. I kind of grew up in it. My dad coached in high school, but I didn't know any different. I didn't see him in the morning when I woke up, and I didn't see him before I went to bed. You know, so he was working hours and putting in work as a high school football coach and teaching in high school. So I kind of learned it that way and watched it that way. So my expectations always, you know, coming in were that way. You know, and I was I've always felt fortunate that this is what we do for a living and somebody's dumb enough to pay us for it. So, you know, I love what I do and. You know, I think that's a pretty special thing because I'm not sure everybody loves what they do. I'm quite certain people like what they do, but I certainly love what I do.
I appreciate it, and you got to have some patience too, right, in this profession.
Yeah, you do.
To climb that ladder.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, there's going to be ebbs and flows for sure. It's not a steady incline, but like Ben said, I mean, it's something we get to do, not something we have to do. So. It's never felt like work, and it makes the hours worthwhile, I guess.
All right, well, we do appreciate your time. I know it's valuable, and you guys got some work to do yet here for week 17 against
Thank
the Vikings.
You.
Thanks so much
Thank
for
you very
being
much.
On the show. Earlier tonight, John Fox on the 20-3 win over the Browns.
Makes Christmas a lot more cheery.
Right,
sure.
So everybody got to spend a little bit of time with their family. The players got a couple of days off. So, you're the only one working today, you and your coaches, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else. I saw some guys trickle in, though.
No, we had about 15 guys come in, which is normal for their day off. And I think that's a good sign. And definitely I know the coaches enjoyed their time off yesterday. We gave the training room, the equipment guys, everybody off. So, this league doesn't time out very often quite that nicely, so you got to take advantage of it.
Akeem Hicks was right, I guess, huh? He said no, we're not going to let this happen, lose to an 0-14 team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if that's exactly what he said, according to reports, but, you know, it does put everybody out there and makes everybody focus.
What set the tone for the win, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think just a good week of preparation. You know, I think 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati, you know, I thought it was pretty good. Wasn't quite as good against Detroit. And then, you know, I think we had a good week's work, and it paid off on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what every win does? It seemingly makes you, you know, you're not supposed to look back, but it makes you look back and wonder what if.
Well, I think, you know, when you go through and you've had as many close losses as we have, you always play that game, but, you know, you can't change it. It's just like sometimes turning in some of our official questions. It doesn't change anything.
You know, there's another rating system out there, and not just the one the NFL uses. It's the Troy Aikman ratings. I don't know if you ever look at it at all. Lovie Smith used to be really important to him. But it does reveal some things that go beyond yards. It's just not yards. When you talk about total yards given up and so forth, it deals with situational football and your production in the red zone, your red zone defense, whatever. So the Bears at 5-10, an outlier in those ratings because the team overall is ranked 15th in the league in their Aikman ratings, which includes all the playoff teams up there that are going to go to the playoffs, and the defense ranks 6th in the league in these Aikman ratings. Again, it is math, but it does underscore that, A, you played some really good teams because 10 of the 15 teams in that top 15, you guys played off those offenses. Top 15 offenses, 10 of them you guys played.
Yeah, I think if you just go back and look at the scores from the opening day against Atlanta, you know, our wins, you know, two of them are against teams that are going to the playoffs. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have 8 Pro Bowlers. We beat them here at home. So I think, you know, again, it's, you know, it is a very competitive league. We did play a very, very tough schedule, and, you know, we lost, you know, probably 5 or 6 one-score games that go the other way. Now you flip your record.
I don't know that I've asked you this ever in 3 years either, but did your expectations from the day the season started when you started training camp, or maybe even back to the offseason program, did they change at all over the course of the season for you as you analyze your team week in and week out?
Not really. You always stay positive, and obviously even to start the season, you stay positive. You know, I think probably every coach in the league does that. You know, I think that's the only way you can look at it. You know, and obviously when you get some injuries and some key spots, it affects those games.
The injuries hit again to the offensive line, and Cameron Leigh moves in there. You know, you got Bradley Sewell, who's been filling in over the course of the season at virtually every spot as well. Heck, he was your potential long snapper at one point. So the versatility and the game prep to get these guys ready to compete out there has really been a challenge, hasn't it, with all the different line combinations. I think you've only started 6 different line combinations, but you've had double-digit numbers of combinations as games worn on.
Yeah, I think our line coaches do an outstanding job, and you know, they got guys ready, and you know, this past week against Cleveland was no different.
That's Bears head coach John Fox wrapping up this year's edition of the Bears Coaches Show. Want to thank Coach Fox and also tonight's offensive assistants John Dunn and Ben McDaniels, our producer Dan Barilli, my right hand here at the controls, and Andy Gersher and Keith Johnson, our Chicago studios. Couldn't have done this show at all without you guys as well. Most of all, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you again next year. But before that, we'll talk to you Sunday from Minnesota, Bears-Vikings, New Year's Eve starting at 9 a.m., kickoff at noon. Have a good night, everybody. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. 9 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 FM, WBBM.